We're not all about pomp and circumstance and about being so formal. If you have a need, we want to pray for you, because we believe that there is a God who still likes to heal today, that there is a God that still likes to deliver today, that there is a God to meet your every need. And his greatest need for you is to believe in him. That's all God wants you to do, is to believe in him. And if you do, then as the title of today's message, you have a call to testify. Mm-hmm. Acts 26, we're winding down in the book of Acts, and I've only got a couple more chapters after this one to go, and I'm asking you to please pray for me as to where God would take us in our teachings on Sunday morning. But as I was reading Acts 26 this week and going over this whole story, it's the Apostle Paul has been brought to trial before King Agrippa. King Agrippa is the main ruler over all of Judea and Jerusalem, and in fact, he's even in charge of the monies in the temple for the Jews. He's king. He's a great grandson of Herod the Great, who came in and conquered the lands. And he is trying to rule and reign, but right now, he's hearing Paul's testimony. How did this man who has upset so many people in Jerusalem, what is his story, and why is he appearing before me today? I want to hear what he has to say. These Jewish believers have contended that Paul showed up in their temple and that he has somehow defiled their temple. Even though the allegations that they have brought up do not hold any water. But now you're going to get a chance to hear the testimony of Paul. And as I'm reading through Acts 26, I'm like, well, we've heard this story over and over. And as I was trying to pick out something new, all of a sudden, the Lord said to me, look, Don, this is the very skeleton of how people today are to testify about me. When they accept me, this is the formula that I would like them to use, the same formula that Paul used before King Agrippa. And we know that King Agrippa was not a believer in Jesus Christ. In fact, he was very perplexed that Paul would even be going on about some man who was supposed dead, and yet Paul is saying, no, he's not dead, he's alive. But these Jews didn't want to believe that. They refused to believe it. Because if they believed it, then they would have to trash thousands of years of their religiosity and understand that this Jesus was the true Messiah that they've been waiting for, that the prophets had told them about. Was he the one? You see, the Jews today are still looking in the horizon. Where is the Messiah? Will this male child, born under Jewish leadership, will he be the Messiah? And they've missed it. 2,000 years ago, he came to this earth in God's perfect timing. He came as a child, delicate, needing man's care or a woman's care, to grow up in the teachings, to understand what it would be like as a human being to walk this earth so that none of us could say, well, God, You just never understand everything I'm going through. Yes, he does. He was here. He understood what hunger meant. He understands what needing rest is about. He understands about your needs. You have a call to testify. And hopefully through the power of God's Holy Spirit, after you hear this message today, you are going to compile your testimony of how God has come into your life. But let's follow the model. Let's see how it first works and how it worked for Paul. And then let's see how it works for us. So, the first question, what was Paul like before Christ? And in chapter 26 of Acts, verses 4 to 5, Paul answers it this way. As the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my own people and in Jerusalem. If they would admit it, they know I have been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of our religion. So what was Paul like before Christ? Well, he's like a lot of people today. They're religious. But in a medical term, sans Jesus Christ. Marilyn, our resident RN, sans means what? Without. Yeah. These people are religious, but they're without Jesus. They're without that relationship that God sent his son for you and I to have. So I ask you this question. And this is a question that I want you to ponder about. Not give it a bunch of glory and pomp and circumstance, but what was your life like before Christ? And I don't know about you, but mine was a train wreck. I mean, I had grown up just like Paul. I had grown up in the training of the church. I was the leader of my youth group. I had learned from early on. In fact, at the age of 10 years old, I was baptized under that cross. That was above me. When I came up out of those waters and I looked up and I saw that stained glass cross, not knowing that 12 years later, I would be joining in marital bliss and harmony with my wife 42 years ago. And some of you are really quick at math, so now you know how ancient I am. 42 years ago, Suzanne and I did our vows before that very cross. So that cross means a lot to me. But more than what that cross means, Jesus. Jesus means all the world to me. Because it's his life, his sacrifice, his resurrection that gives you and I the hope of eternal life. So, what was your life like before Christ? Well, I would like to hear about some of the train wrecks. And I'm sure the rest of the group would like to hear about how your life was miserable before Christ. Not to give that too much glory, not to go into detail about it, but just to give some kind of detail. What was my life like before Christ? Well, it was all centered around me. What did I want? What did I desire? I was so narcissistic. That means I'm self-centered. That I don't really have a thought about the people around me. I don't really care about their needs. It's just meet my need. And I did everything I could within my power to meet my need. I even medicated my need. But that was before Christ. And I don't want to give that too much honor. Let's continue to see what this model holds, as we all know that we have a call to testify. So how did Paul come to know Christ? And in Acts 26, verses 12 to 16, we get the story. As he's telling it before King Agrippa, he says, "One day I was on a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priests. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, but I heard a voice speaking to me. Saul, Saul," you see, that was Paul's name before Christ changed it. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now, get to your feet. You are to tell the world what you have seen and what I will show you in the future." You may not have had a Damascus Road experience. However, if you declare that you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, there had to be a point and a time in your life that you said, "You know what? I've been doing stupid long enough. I want to start living according to God." And I have heard that in his word, if I would just believe in his son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for my sins, resurrected on the third day, defeating death, who now sits at the right hand of the Father, that I too, if I would just believe in him, all of my sins would be counted as nothing. They would be removed as far as the east is from the west. I would no longer have to give an account for those. Instead, Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. See, then at that point in time, I no longer live for me. Instead, I live for Jesus. If that's true of who you are. That's why we are called Christians, Christ followers, little Christs, Christians. And so when we are perplexed by, well, what does that mean? How should I now be living? Brothers and sisters, we're not left to the thinking of our own. Instead, we have a wonderful book here called the Bible to teach us about God, to teach us what he desires, to teach us what he requires. And what does he require? Micah would tell us, "He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justly." And that justly doesn't mean just to yourself. To do justly is to do justly toward others. To love mercy. How many of you love mercy? You know, when you mess up, when you do something wrong, Do you want people standing around pointing their fingers at you going, you're messed up. You're messed up. No, instead, we hunger for mercy. We hunger to have people say, you know what? I know you didn't mean it. I know you really didn't mean that. We're to love mercy. Most importantly, we're to walk humbly with our God. We're to walk humbly with God. That means that I take my pride, and my pride goes away. You see, because if I answer to pride, pride is all about me. I'm worried about me. Who's going to stand up for me? You know who's going to stand up for you? His name is Jesus. And Jesus is going to say, you know what? That Don guy, man, if you'd have known him before like I knew him, he was one messed up dude. But I'm standing up for him today. And I'm saying he has become a child of God. My Jesus is going to stand up for me. And he's going to give testimony about what he has done to bring me into a right relationship with my God, my Father, my Abba. It's a place of intimacy. To know and to understand that God knows you intimately. He knows even the very thoughts you're thinking right now. Shame on some of you. Take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ right now. So, how did Paul come to know Christ? Well, he had a very real Damascus Road experience that blinded him for 3 days. I mean, look at this. A light from heaven brighter than the sun. I mean, I don't know about you, but my mama, she told me as a little boy, don't look into the eyes of the sun. You'll go blind. Right? So here is a light even brighter than the sun that shone down upon Paul, and it blinded Paul. You know, it's kind of like driving down the road, either at sunset or sunrise, and all of a sudden that sun and all of its power comes right there in the middle of the road, and you can't see where you're going. Right? Now think of something being even more personal. A bright light that is so bright you can't see anything else around you. Paul didn't know what his companions were doing. All he knew is that they all had fallout. Because they all fallen out on the ground. So answer this question. How did you come to know about Christ? And there is one truth that invades each and every one of our lives. All of us came to know about Christ by one other person. It takes people who know him and have experienced him to share him. That's why, go back to the title of the message, we know we're called to testify. So the last question that rounds out the testimony is, so how did Paul's life change after he received Christ? He says, because I'm going to tell you right now that if my life didn't change after I received Christ, I would be a poor reflection of Christ in this world. You see, Jesus comes to bring change to your life. You will be a different person. Oh, you'll still walk about in the same suit, but your heart and your mind will be changed. Your values will be changed for his values. You will live not for your glory, not for your narcissistic ways, but instead you will live for the glory of God. What does God want me to do today? Who does God want me to speak to today? Who does God want me to pray for today? God comes in and God becomes the quarterback of your life. But then that means I must surrender. I must surrender total control of my life to God. It's what it takes. Don't let it be a power struggle between you and God, because then you really haven't given your life to Him. You just want your sins released. You want the smudge of all your wrongdoing to be gone, but you really don't want to live for Christ. You want to do things your way. And I'll tell you what, folks, I have learned it don't work that way in God's kingdom. It just don't. Back in Ohio, it worked like that. Out here, it don't work like that. It just doesn't. You've got to give up control of your life.
Well, does that mean I'm like a zombie?
No. No, you see, because God made you with all your weird peculiarities. He made you with your own fingerprints. He made you to be your own personality, but He made you that way so that you can reach other weird people just like you. That you can speak into their life and you will have like type situations that you have walked through. They won't be identical. Don't look for that. But there will be people that God will bring into your life. And when you start hearing what their story is and what they're struggling with, that you can kind of step in and go, you know what? I can relate to that. Yeah, well, how are you such a fine person today? And I'll go, you know how I became so fine? I want to introduce you to a man that cleaned up my act. And he has the power to clean up your act as well. But your act isn't for me to judge, because it's not before me that you're going to stand someday. But you will give an account. Do I need to say that a little louder? You will give an account for the way you live this life. If it's for the glory of yourself, or if you've lived it for the glory of God. And if you've lived it for the glory of God, there's going to be all this fruit. No, I didn't say a bunch of fruits hanging around. There's going to be all this fruit of people that you have shared Jesus with, who will then be in God's kingdom as well. And all because of what? Because you acknowledge this truth. There is a call on my life to testify about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So, how did Paul's life change after he received Christ? Again, going back to Acts 26, verse 20, Paul said, I preached first to those in Damascus. Now think about this turnaround. I mean, he's on his way with orders from the high priest to capture as many people who are following after Jesus and to bring them back for persecution and for death, perhaps. But Christ meets him on the road and changes his heart. He meets Jesus, and when you truly meet Jesus, your life will change. You won't be the same old boy or girl. You may be an older boy or an older girl. No. Comedy relief. So what did Paul say? I preach first to those in Damascus. And they're all probably scratching their heads, just going, whoa, wait a minute. This is a high priest, this Pharisee named Paul. He's coming to kill us. What is this, a ploy? He's going to talk to us about Jesus, and then all of a sudden he's going to have his posse come in and arrest us all? Is he for real? Are you for real? Or are you a fake? Paul had something that he had to prove. My heart has been changed forever. Then he went to Jerusalem and throughout all Judea and to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove they have changed by the good things they do. By the good things they do. I'm sure there's a few of us here that could really brag about the bad things we used to do. But that's not God's heart. God would rather that you would be bragging about the good things that you are doing to bring honor and glory to his name. So let me ask you this question. How has your life changed since you received Christ? So if you put the three questions together and you put down your answers to each of those questions, that will become your testimony. That'll be your history with Christ. His story of how he changed me. This is what I was. This is how I changed. This is who I am today. As I was going through this and putting down these questions and, you know, all praise and glory to God for opening up my eyes to see this passage in this way. Because I had never read Acts 26 and gotten this model for testimony before. But it was for this weekend. It was for this day. But I want this to waft over. Next Sunday is our family Sunday. And that's when we have our children in here. We don't dismiss them for class. We have our children worshiping in here with us. You know what our kids need to hear? More than some stranger, our kid needs to hear our testimony. So next Sunday is going to be Testimony Sunday. Will you take this formula that you're shown through Paul? And will you write these things down? Now it can be very short, succinct. In fact, at one time a few years ago, we did a thing called cardboard testimonies. And cardboard testimonies were exactly this. People would take a clean piece of cardboard and take a marker. And on one side of it, they would write, what was my life like before Christ? And then knowing that they had met Christ, not knowing how they had met Christ, was the only thing that we didn't know. But on the flip side of that piece of cardboard was, but my life is this. I was once an addict. Through Christ, I am no longer addicted to drugs. I have been set free. That's as simple as a testimony could be. So if you'd like to make up a cardboard testimony for next Sunday, do it. If you would like to speak your testimony, which is what I'm trying to encourage here, and we do this not for embarrassment. We do this for the glory of God. And some of you are already thinking, there ain't no way I'm going to stand up and talk before all these people. But I'm going to let you in on a secret. It's the same secret that Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And those of you who know it, repeat it with me. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Guess what? Look around at these people that you're sitting next to. Every one of them has had a sin past. Maybe some are still battling with it. It's not up to us to look down our noses or to condemn anybody. Because also in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in the Christ Jesus club? If so, there is absolutely no condemnation. Even though people can bring out their alligators and they can allege all sorts of things about you, you know your position in Christ. I have asked him for my forgiveness of my sins. And the rest of it of us should see it in the fruit of your life. Is the fruit of your life love? Do you love others more than you love yourself? Are you joyful? Or are you grumbly Gus? So many times people go to churches and it's all about the... You sat in my chair. Did you know that years ago I paid for that chair? You haven't paid any money for that chair. What are you doing in my chair? And people meet grumpy grasses. Why? They should be meeting glad Gladyses. And no, I'm not asking you all to turn into women. But we should have the spirit of joy. Why? Because our sins are forgiven. We are the children of God. All the promises of his kingdom are given unto us. I have a blessed assurance that Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? Tell me, Linnea. Yeah. A song that each and every one of us learned as children. And our children need to hear the testimony. They don't need to hear about all your junk. They don't need to have all your control. They need the love of Jesus pouring out of you and teaching them to love God. That's the command that he's given to every parent. Teach your children to love God. How are you, through your actions, teaching your children the number one thing to do in this life? I don't care if you ever make it or are successful as the world sees it, but I want to see you be a lover of God. Oh, how Patty and Dave must almost have their buttons busting off because they raised a godly son named Robert who runs our sound equipment. Now, Robert, praise God, has not had a lot of the dirty stuff that a few of you have had. And so you're not going to connect. But guess what? There still had to be a day and a point in time in Robert's life when he gave his life to God. What about you? The thing is, God never asks you to do something that he's not also willing to do. And so that's why I included 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. Because this is God's willingness to testify. What was his life like before Christ? We don't know, because he was always with him. Right? How did he come to know Christ? Well, excuse me, but from the beginning, we've known each other. How's his life changed after knowing his son, Jesus Christ? It hasn't. God's the same yesterday, today, as he will be forever. That's the blessed hope we have. But here is God's testimony. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. This is God's testimony. This is how he is saying that it's going to be on Judgment Day. If you've got his son, you've got life. If you don't have his son, you ain't got life. It means you're going to have eternal death. You're going to be eternally separated from God. And you have an opportunity to make that choice right now, right here, in this place. I'm tired of living separate from God. I want the joy of living with him, and him and me. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. You may know it. Now, loving Heavenly Father, if there are any in this room that do not have the security of that knowledge, maybe they realize this morning that, you know what? My life has been all about me. And it's not been about Jesus. It's just about me tickling my fancies, doing what I want all the time. Me calling the shots. And I've made enough mistakes that I'm done with that today, Lord. I want to take this challenge and see what life with you is going to be like. How are you going to change me? What's going to be different? I leave that up to you, but Lord, what you ask me to do is just totally surrender. To ask you to please, more than anything else in this world, there's only one thing I desire. Jesus, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me for the person that I have been, for the person I portrayed? And will you make me new through the power of your blood, Jesus? Will you wipe away my sins? And Holy Spirit, I invite you to come in to help make me the person that God, my Father, wants me to be. Lord God, give me the courage to walk the walk that you called me to. Give me the ability to speak my testimony and to be ready in season and out of season to tell others about your wonderful love. Lord, today, I want to leave this building a believer in your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to be able to be called a child of God. And to not have any doubts about that. That it's finished business, it's done. I am a child of God. If you want to make that statement today, that I am a child of God, be so bold as to stand for him. Will you stand for Jesus this morning? Will you stand up for Jesus?